League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the best. Eat a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad others. Bad taste, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios of the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny loves to hit that Wonder Woman stick before she goes to bed in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, rent to travel, and some kind of fountain, shake it up, should do. All my friends that come around, fuck the party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this towel's tattered, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do be dragged out. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Carver High this evening. Did you see your boy Ronan O'Dor just light up the sky? Yeah, with a rocket launcher like Jeff Bezos into the sky at the boogie down, Carver High.
Yeah, how about that? And once again, I'm noticing it's like those couple young kids that they got in the dugout now are really, you know, they're giving a little bit of spark to the Yankees. Maybe that's what they needed, some nobodies to show up, whether it's Allen or Florial, to show up, and suddenly the Yankees have a little juice heading into Boston this weekend, maybe.
I mean, can you imagine that? You look at what they're doing tonight. I know that Stanton drove in a run, and then Odor hit the two-run shot, his 11th. I never thought I'd see that guy hit 11 home runs with the Yankees when he came here. I thought, this guy's washed. I'll be honest with you. And then you look at it, right? It's Allen and Florial, right? And ever since they came up, and tonight again, Allen 1-for-3 with an RBI, and Florial 1-for-2 with a run scored and a walk. Florial's hitting 375. Allen's hitting 455. Obviously, not a lot of at bats, but the ones that they've had have been meaningful. And they're going to sweep this series, it would appear to me. And the other thing that I think is important here is that they're using Britton every night since he's done nothing for a year. And they've literally paid him all kinds of money and he's been injured, right? So finally he's back and they're putting him to work every night. And he should be pitching every night with that, you know, the left-hander, he's got a biting sinker and everything else. The guy keeps balls on the ground. They just committed an error there. I think it was Torres at short. But that was a ground ball out. That should have been an out right there. I mean, that's just a terrible, right between his legs, error. And that's on him. That should have been an out. My point being that, like I just said it, right when the guy hits the easy three-bounce grounder off of his glove, that should have been an out because he gets ground ball outs and he keeps the ball down and guys have problems with it. And he handcuffs him coming from that left side. I think they've gotten ripped off by Britton, frankly, Carver High, and he's finally here. So I'd throw his ass out there every day.
Yeah, why not? He's missed a lot of time with injuries. You're finally have him healthy and have nursed him back. You've got a couple other guys who haven't performed very well. So, yeah, put him out there and make him work.
So we welcome our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, Sports Map and Sports Byline. It's Farrell on the bench. So Didi's back in New York with the Phillies. How's that going for him?
Didi's having a little bit of a rough season. I mean, you could tell a couple things have caught up with him. He hasn't done too much in these two nights. As far as what I've seen from him, what has he done tonight, old Didi?
0-for-3. Didi, he's hitting 211.
0-for-3. Yeah, he just it's unfortunate. Like, you didn't want to see the Yankees give up Didi because he was such a big part of their clubhouse and he had so many big hits for them. But looking at these 2 years now that he spent in Philadelphia, they might have been right. I mean, he might be a little washed.
Wow. So what do you think of Odor that they're talking about him being the spark plug? And, you know, he's definitely got the attitude. Like, he's been in the bigs for a long time. When he did the bat flip after the home run, that was pretty emphatic. He just dropped that bat. And he knew right away. He's like, boom, that was a, you know, deep shot into the sky. So what do you think of him? Do you like him on that team?
Well, look, they need somebody with some personality. And Odor, you're right. He's got the big bat flip. And if you notice, when they do hit him, when anybody else hits a homer, he's like the first guy out of the dugout doing some dopey handshake with them. Like, he, and listen, that stuff, it might seem like nothing, but that stuff gets the team together. You know, it really does. And when you were playing as bland and as dry and as stale as the Yankees were playing for weeks and weeks, to have a guy maybe fire him up a little bit and have a couple of other young kids fire him up a little bit, it's good to see. I don't mind what Odor's done. I mean, geez, I never thought you'd get the kind of production you've gotten out of him. Guy's hit a bunch of home runs for him. Done a good job.
So, you know, they've moved to within four of that wild card, and they moved ahead of Toronto and Cleveland, and now they're only looking up at Seattle by a half game, and then, Oakland by three games if they catch Seattle, right? Right now they're four back of it. But I told you, four games is nothing if you win every series. If you win every single series. Now they beat Houston, they beat Boston, and now they're sweeping Philly. They go to Boston. If they can get three or four in Boston, I think they're on their way to that wild card in the right direction. It's Pharrell on the Bench. So the Astros were down 4-2. They just got an Altuve RBI single to make it 4-3, bottom six in Houston as they trail the Indians, but they're catching up now. And then I'm watching the Marlins and Nats, runner at third in the 10th, tied at ones, one out, full count. And the Marlins are trying to take the lead here in extra innings. All tied up at ones at Nationals Park.
And that would be nice of them.
Giants
win a game
and Dodgers are underway. What's that, Carver High?
So it would be nice of the Marlins to actually win a game down there. They've only gotten their ass beat the last couple nights. So it would be nice to see the Marlins win a game.
Yeah, they walk now. Got runners at the corners. I bet on them tonight. I need them to score some runs here. Score a run. Do something. You got a chance here with one out to get one of those runs in and win this game. Giants and Dodgers scoreless in the first. It's underway at Chavez Ravine. And the Cubs lead the Cardinals after six innings in St. Louis, 1-0. The Twins are beating the White Sox 6-1 in the sixth. Already finals. Diamondbacks 6-4 over the Pirates. Red Sox 7-4 over the Jays. They haven't played that great lately, the Red Sox, 4-6-10. The Rays have won 7 of 10. The Yankees have won 7 of 10. It's now or never for the Yankees. The Rays beat the Orioles 5-4. Padres took game one, 3-2 over the Braves. Padres lead game two, 5-4 in the bottom of the fifth. So, looking for the sweep there. Mets 7-0 over the Reds. Royals 6-3 over the Brewers. That's a hangover game for the Brewers. They went to the Bucks game last night and got hammered and partied with everybody and didn't show up tonight again. The Rockies doubled up the Mariners 6-3, and the Tigers beat the Rangers again.
What do you think the attendance is at that Milwaukee game tonight? Like, the way that city probably celebrated last night, their first championship in decades, probably maybe a little bit of a crowd over there for the Brewer game, but maybe they're mostly half drunk from last night. What kind of crowd shows up the day after the other team in town wins a championship?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like looking and I can't figure it out. I can't find it. It's just on the fly, you know what I mean? Trying to find that number is
they might not put it till after the game. They usually don't post that stuff till afterwards. Well, after, because it just went final a little while ago.
The Royals got the season sweep of the Brewers.
Wow. 4 games.
Can you even imagine that? Here it is.
They claimed 53,000. There's no way.
Yeah. 53,000.
That was actually earlier today, too. You're right. That was an afternoon game. There's no way there was 53,000 people there this afternoon. Not after last night, unless they were all still drunk.
Astros tie it up 4-4 with the Indians. They get Altuve home. What do you think of the way that team's playing? They seem to win every night.
I think somebody needs to start checking Altuve the way he's been hitting home runs. I mean, I don't want to accuse anybody of anything. But
they actually haven't been playing well. They're 5-5-10, but they're sitting 3.5 up on the A's in the West. Seems like the last couple of days they've looked pretty good, haven't they? Altuve's been raking home runs. Seems like they've been. We had the Yordani, your boy, hit one the other night. Yesterday, I think it was. We played it on the show.
Yordan Alvarez.
But I don't know. I mean, the bottom line is, I think they're going to win that division. I really do. At some point or another, I think they'll get it done over the A's, don't you?
I think they're going to win the division. I say this about the A's every year. Like, it's amazing how they put together these teams, basically scraping pennies off the ground. They do a great job of it. They find guys who are up and coming, who can hit. Nobody's ever heard of them before. But what happens when we get to the serious games in October? They don't win. They're the wild card every year. You know, they don't get it done. So it sustains them throughout a regular season, and it gets them to the postseason, but they never do anything once they get there, whereas the Astros are more built for that.
And they go further. Tampa and Oakland have the wild cards in the AL, and the Dodgers and Padres have comfortably the wild cards in the NL. The Reds are 6 back, Philly 6.5, Cubs 7.5 with the Cardinals, Atlanta 8, Washington 9. I mean, it's just like, that's crazy. So, at worst, the Padres can watch the Giants and Dodgers and you know, look up at them the rest of the way and still make the playoffs as a wild card, at worst, right? I mean, that's a good team. We know that. We talk about that team every day on Coast to Coast, and we're on in San Diego. They just keep getting it done. That's all there is to it. And they're cruising at, you know, 5-5-10 right now, not playing great or whatever. They've been on the road. They're in Atlanta tonight looking to sweep both games of the doubleheader. But when you're 14 games over 500, you're doing something right, I'll tell you what. And, I mean, watching that team with Machado and Tatis and Hosmer, and, I mean, the whole lineup is crazy. Cronenworth, I mean, that's a dangerous team. Myers, you can't deny it, Carver High.
I can't. I think that they're going to be in the World Series. There you go.
You think they're going all the way to the World Series?
Yes. I think that they will represent the National League in the World Series.
Wow. And who do you think will be in there from the AL?
I'm not sure yet. I don't want to root for the, obviously I wouldn't root, but I don't want to pick the Astros because, of course, I would like to see somebody knock them off. I can't back the White Sox because I don't trust them. I'm obviously not, I don't want to see the Red Sox or the Rays there. It's very hard in the AL. There's so many teams I can't stand. But if I had to pick one team in the AL right now, I'd probably pick the Astros.
Really? Even though the White Sox have that pitching?
White Sox will lose in the playoffs.
They'll lose that in the playoffs like they always do?
That great pitching, and the numbers are great, they pitch great, they will lose in October. They will lose a series. Those guys will yak it up, I'm telling you.
They've won 8 of 10, and they're losing tonight, but they've been playing great baseball.
They play Minnesota every night. I mean, I'm tired of it. They play the Twins. They play the Twins like I mean, over the last 10 games, they have to have played 6 or 7 against the Twins. They play them every night.
They're not doing that nonsense again this year where they're playing just the same teams in the division.
I know, but it certainly feels that way. But they, even though you're not doing that nonsense, you still play a ton of games against your division. And look at their division. Kansas City, Detroit, Minnesota. They've all been awful. They beat up their, like, they whack the pinata pretty much every night against those teams. They're not beating the Astros in a 7-game series. There's no way.
So I'm sitting here watching this. Are you watching this guy? Is this happening? Britain's imploding and he's loaded the bases in the eighth.
I gotta turn it on.
Then they brought in another batter. I need to know what happened. Oh, it's 5-4 now. Britain loaded him up, and now they've come within a run, and there's only one out in the eighth. So they were actually showing highlight of it before. And now I'm seeing the exact same thing that they're showing. They're in on the in-game now, showing it. They cannot blow this game. They got to win this game.
Yes.
They absolutely have to win this game. So is that the kid, Allen? They got him playing third base? So nothing but trouble. They got runners on first and second with one out. They're down a run. It's Pharrell on the bench. Go with us. Wasn't that Torres on the Yankees too, Carver High?
Yes, he was there when Girardi was there.
Yeah, he just scored the tying run on a wild pitch. What a disastrous pitch. Your boy bounced it in from... He literally missed home plate by 5 feet, Nelson. I mean...
What is
he
this
bounced
guy
it in.
Like, what? You don't got better than this goon Nelson right now to pitch in this game? This guy's awful. He really is sometimes. The way they manage.
Now, on the pitch after, he nailed Sanchez, who's injured now.
Jeez.
I mean, this guy's bouncing balls in. He's so wild. And he just gave up the game-tying run. They were up 5-2. It's 5-5 now. What a disaster. They cannot blow this game. And when you're up 5-2 and it's 5-5 now, you know they're going to blow this game. All right, Rick Haro is our sports business and legal insider from Harvard and hot dog aficionado on the bench. He's going up to D.C. tomorrow. He's got a whole Eastern Seaboard tour of meetings, shows, everything else. Well, I'll be... next week, Carver High will be hosting Coast to Coast and doing it with Rick Haro. And then I'll be gone. My last shows are tomorrow. I'll be on Coast to Coast and on the bench on Thursday, tomorrow. And then I'm off Friday through the week of August 2nd. I'll be back. So it's just a week with both weekends, right? So I'll be back on Monday, August 2nd, doing both shows. I'll be out. I'm going surfing. I'm going to Cali. I'm chilling the most on the beach, per usual. What up, San Diego? What up? What up, SoCali? You know Uncle Futrelli's coming home. Check out. I'm always going back to Southern California because it's the only place to be. That's what's up. Mr. Haro, how are you this evening? He'll be on with Carver High on at least Coast to Coast. They're doing in-game live on the radio side, I believe, at night for the whole time I'm gone, which was another story altogether that I won't elaborate on. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, all right, we'll leave it at that because, yeah, no, that's – so next no radio next week, huh? All right.
No, it's not my business. It's not my business. I'm leaving Friday and I'm out of the business for those days. I'll be off Friday and Monday through Friday. And then when I get back, I'll be interested in what we're doing. And while I'm gone, I'll have zero interest in it.
Yeah, got it. A double whammy. No golf with you next week either. So, you know, I'm crying a little bit, but you know what? I'm coming up for the BMW. It's part of the playoffs in September, at end of August. So we'll catch end of August.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be there for that, and I'll be there for everything. I'll be there for preseason football, into the NFL season, etc. I don't. You know, I don't usually, I guess, I mean, I used to go surfing in, and go to Southern California every, I guess, Carver High in the summer when I was at CBS, I did it. I like going out there for like around my birthday, whatever, to surf and stuff and chill. But, you know, the bottom line is that, it's weird because I'm nervous about it, Rick, because of, you know, many reasons. Like every day I turn on the TV, you and I've had this conversation. It never ceases to amaze me. I'm fascinated by it. I guess in some sick way, this Delta variant and this COVID, you know, we spent a year and a half at home doing shows and then everybody thought it was over. We all got vaccinated and everybody took off their masks and you could go back into restaurants and bars and gyms and you could have your life back. And then not even 3 months later, it's back and it's worse than it was when it was just COVID. It's way worse. And now it's like the world's ending. I'm scared to go to an airport. I'm scared to go to California, everything.
And people are complacent about it. And you're absolutely right. And I'm double vaccinated, obviously, but I'm wearing masks. And people who say, why are you wearing a mask? I say, because I want to live. You know, I mean, it's like, and you'll be fine because you're going to watch yourself like everybody does. But, you know, this is a trip last year that I did exclusively in the car. I started driving up to the Northeast. My daughter's taking the bar exam next week, so I thought I'd take her to dinner in Boston and then go up to Maine. And it's one flight to Washington.
Hold on.
Car.
So wait.
Drive everywhere.
When she's taking the bar exam, are you like Jose Altuve? You're in another room, like a mile away, with like a you got like a piece, like a earpiece in, and a wire going into your chest, and then
that.
She's got one in her ear, and you're feeding her answers.
No, I thump the. I use the top of the garbage can, and if it's two thumps, it's a strike. But if it's three, oh, that's Altuve. No, look, two things. First of all, she didn't want me anywhere near giving her advice on a test. She's doing just fine without me giving her any input. And second, I will be on Brookline next Thursday when she's finishing the exam, and then I'll take her to dinner. So that'll be kind of
so
fun.
So, are you driving again from Florida to Boston?
No, I'm driving. I'm taking a flight from Florida to Washington tomorrow, and then renting a car, and then going to the Eastern Shore. I've got some meetings. I'm going to go see the Delmarva Shorebirds. We'll check that off the bucket list. And the Bowie Bay Sox. So we're looking at minor league baseball.
Those are minor league teams?
I'll report. They're minor league teams that made it. Remember, there were a lot of teams that didn't make it? Those are the teams that made it. And then up in Jersey, take a look at the studio. Then up to Connecticut. Then up to Boston. Then up to New Hampshire. Then up to Maine. I got a meeting in Albany. Got a meeting at Saucon Valley to play some golf and flying back.
Wait. You're going to see the Sports Grid studio, so you're gonna go see Carver High at Studio 54.
Maybe I'm gonna see some studio. I'm not sure. I may hop in and surprise him live. That may be an interesting thing. But I'm really looking forward to being on with him because I'm gonna. It's like Wally Pipp, man. You leave. You think your job is waiting for you when you come back?
Oh, I haven't the foggiest idea, Rick. As you know, there are stronger odds, actually. The FanDuel Carver High can confirm this right now. There is a number on the board. Will Ferrell stay in Southern California and become a professional surfer at the age of 56, fulfilling a lifelong prophecy, or will he return to the lovely Meadowlands to do coast to coast and for all revenge. And Carver High said, most of the money's on what? The surfing?
Yeah, look, it isn't as big a long shot as you think it is, Rick. I mean, I would put staying in California probably only plus 175 with him coming back to do the show at like minus 150. So it isn't as long shot as you think it is.
Well, listen, but the other thing you got to take into consideration is that when he's out surfing with the Sharks, he's one of them. So there's a whole professional courtesy. He's safe in that water.
Listen, I'll tell you a funny story. So I want to go out there. As you know, I rented a beautiful home on the beach. And I, you know, walk out the door and I go on the beach and I surf. and I do things, and I lay on the beach, and I look at girls in bikinis. But the one thing that was interesting is that the club that I belong to, as you know, here in New York City, is very expensive, and it's that's where I play basketball, and a lot of NBA guys play basketball there and things of this nature. And so the club in California of the same family, of the same company, is so exclusive and so ritzy and so ridiculous in terms of its enormity and fantasticness. Is that a word? The place is incredible. It's way nicer even than the one that I go to, which is a good one. And that one's a great one. It's like there's tiers of them. They have some that are so nice that you can't even get in them with a membership that you have at the other ones, right? You have to, you can't even get there like, thanks, but you're not rich enough to go to our club. And then, so the deal is, so listen, so my guy, I said, listen, can you give me some juice? Can you give me some juice? Cause I'm on in San Diego and I'm on in LA. And I mean, let's face facts. Everybody out there knows the show and knows me. Can I get a little love just for a week? And you let me in the ritzy club. And I got the call today that they're allowing me into the fancy club. So I got some juice going here, Carver High, with all the rich people that are, you know, sometimes difficult to deal with in terms of breaking the code. But I was given the Pharrell treatment. I was given the juice today, Carver High, to get into the, you know, up into the top tier. Like you were talking today, there's certain teams that are on a different tier.
Listen,
and
gotta
there's
have,
certain players
gotta
that are on
have
a different
juice.
Tier.
Got to have the juice. When you're special, gotta when you're going juice. Somewhere hey, like
and by
that.
By the way, are the Padres home next week for you?
Yes, I will be going to the Padres-Rocky game on my birthday. Now, listen, next week when you're on the air with Carver High, don't forget it's his birthday on Wednesday, the 28th, and then my birthday is Thursday, the 29th, and on my birthday,
wow,
I'm going to see
birthday.
The Padres,
double happy
and
birthday.
I have 10 tickets. I'm going with my buddy, his wife, and three kids, and then my wife and my two kids and her friend, 34C's friend. 10 of us going to the Padre game, where I always see Scott Miller, the great baseball writer, at the Padre game. And Petco Field is always sold out, and I want to have an affair with 90% of the women at the game. I just wanted to say that. We'll come back and talk sports business with Rick Carl on a bench. All right, so they're telling me that it'll be football full circle and college football full circle all week on the radio side at night, 10 to midnight east and 7 to 9 west, while I'm out for the vacation, whatever you want to call it. So that's Carver High's show. The college side of it and the football side of it is Kurtz and Lisi, and then Lisi Carver on the college side. Two great shows. They'll be filling the show while I'm gone. And I was under the impression it was the other thing, and that's not it. And, you know, there you go. So next week, and this starts Friday of this week. So I'm out Friday and then all of next week. All right, Rick Haro's with us, our sports business and legal insider. And, you know, we've talked about the Olympics and how the COVID has changed everything, but they still have it going on. They're still having events. They had the soccer, they had softball. They have things going on. I guess for the sake of it, they're not going to stop it, are they? I mean, do you literally think that they would start it and then stop it?
Well, yes, it depends, because this is the one situation in our lives where we have absolutely no control. The Olympic Committee, you, me, everybody is not in control. The virus is in control. And you know, let's remember that you've got over 60 Japanese companies that are interested in recouping their $200 million investment in addition to television. But they don't want blood on their hands, and I mean it literally. This is not one of those things where if you start it, you can't stop it. The bubble is not like the NBA or NHL bubble, There are 11,000 athletes. Just remember that. And 200 countries. Many of those countries don't have the vaccines anywhere close to 10%. And so it is a petri dish. You talk to some of the people who are over there, the executives that I talked to at the Stanley Cup when NBC finished their broadcast, and they went straight from the suites in Tampa to Tokyo. And I got to tell you, there wasn't a whole lot of excitement to go, but it's part of the job, and they did the best they could at protecting themselves. Now we're on the verge of the opening ceremonies, and everybody's bitching about not having fans. Well, look, we didn't have fans during the entire NFL season. It's not the issue of putting on a great television product, because it's going to be fine. It's just the issue of, do we start a super spreader, the likes of which we've never seen?
Yeah, I guess that's certainly a massive concern. And I'm not sure if, I don't know, there's just something about it. I have to see it play out. But there's something about it for me that is indicative of no fans equates to failure. I don't think, I don't know. It's different for me watching, frankly, sports in the U.S. with the hockey and the NBA in the bubble, or the NFL with no fans. That sport, the NFL, I could watch it with fans, no fans. I could probably, watch it in any conditions and I'd still watch it, right? But I think, don't you feel like the Olympics, with all the money they spent, we talked about this on Coast to Coast. I mean, there's $26 billion and there's no fans. The Olympics are all about fans from all over the world going to see these games. I've been to them 4 times. I've been to Athens. I've been to everything, Atlanta, L.A., Salt Lake. I just don't understand how it can be successful without fans. I really don't. And I just think that's just a disaster.
The huge impact is obviously the camaraderie, the tourism, the business exchange. You're going to see none of that. What you are going to see is a little bit of sponsorship, a little bit of activation. You'll see a little bit of business. You'll see empty seats. You'll see a $1.4 billion stadium that was rebuilt just for this that will be totally empty except for the game themselves. So the legacy of the facilities afterward, hey, remember, $26 billion. You've mentioned that before. But in 64, when the games were held in Tokyo last time, it cost $1.9 billion. Now, nobody knew about COVID decimating the other part of the games, too. But we kept saying over the last few weeks lead up to the game that a series of games with no fans is much better than not having the games at all. Now, not so sure.
Yeah, you know what happens to those? Listen, just think of, like, Sochi, right? Have you seen what's happened to those, arenas and stadiums and rinks and, everything, ski slopes and everything that they had there, like that, it becomes like a nuclear plant that's been shut down. I mean, after they spend billions on it, it's a disaster.
And here's the issue. How do you plan the legacy after the games and mean it? So L.A. has the games 8 years from now 7, and they're doing it right because SoFi was built for the Rams and the Chargers, and all of the other facilities kind of exist already. London in 2012 did it the right way. Paris, 3 years from now, is doing it the right way because they're not building a whole lot just for the games. Sochi, you're right. Athens, too many facilities. Sydney, they did it okay. The theme is, you got to make sure what you're building has sustaining after the games. Because Sydney did it right, the announcement under the radar today was Brisbane, Australia, has the games for 2032. We don't care a lot because we get the games 4 years earlier, but Australia does. And the reason they're excited about it is because they did a great job in Melbourne, and I think it was in 64, 68, and they did a great job in Sydney. And it's a green games. The events were great. The infrastructure was great. The transportation system they needed. They didn't get it before. They got it for the games. And that's why Brisbane is getting the games. But you're right. If you build facilities and you only use it for the games and then You see, for example, some of the stuff in China when they had the Summer Olympics there and Sochi, it's covered with weeds. Nobody uses it, and it's a good example of government money that should be used for something else. Just remember, $26 billion for the Games, and all but $6.7 billion is public money. So $20 billion of public money, they've got to have something to show for it.
Where is the next, is it Japan for the Winter Olympics coming up?
No, it's China for the Winter Olympics coming up.
Yeah, China.
And you know what NBC
Beijing.
Did, which is kind of, yeah, Beijing. What they did, which is kind of interesting, the Super Bowl ads are almost all sold out for this year. It's on NBC. It's at SoFi in L.A.
Right.
But they've packaged the Olympic Games. If you spend $6 million for a 30-second ad, the only way you get good placement is if you buy the Beijing Olympics a week later. Many people don't want to do it, but the only way to get access to good prime real estate in the Super Bowl ads is to buy the Beijing ads for 2 weeks later.
Yeah, Carver High is excited about going to the hockey games in the Wuhan Arena.
Yeah, right, exactly. And find the bats and the pigs and whatever else they've got there. That's interesting.
Yeah.
If you think we have some problems today, what about going to China in 5 months? How about that?
Right, because like the American relationship with China is like spilled milk. I mean, honestly, it's just so disastrous. I could think of no place worse for the Winter Olympics for America than going to China as they hack our systems everywhere in business and in politics and in finance and steal from us. You know the facts remain. We can't stand them. I mean, there's no one we hate more than Russia and China. I mean, what could be worse than going to Beijing in 5 months? Honestly, for
business. By the way, Beijing was the only... If you remember the politics of the Olympics for winter bidding, a lot of people didn't even want to touch the Winter Games because a lot of the towns like northern Norway towns or Finland or Geneva, they didn't want to spend their money for big ski slopes and ski jump areas. And China stepped forward. But the reason why 2022 has the Winter Games in Beijing was the only two cities that bid were Baku, bet you don't know where that is, Azerbaijan, and Beijing. Nobody else wanted them. So this was a Games where they almost didn't have them because nobody wanted them. So Beijing stepped up and they got the Games.
I mean, that is unbelievable. And then in 28, it's in L.A., and everybody's like, yeah, that'll be great. And then the minute it leaves America, people aren't interested again. It really is crazy. Real quick, some of the top tech. I see the Columbus Crew are using facial recognition ticketing. I know I'm using phone-only ticketing for Steelers season tickets. Is the wave of the future facial recognition? I know they do that now at the airports with the clear. They look in your eyes, and they know your retina and your fingerprints.
They're going to try to do it as much as they possibly can. Company is called Wicket. It's a software company, and they're trying to figure out how to put it in airports as they're doing it, how to put it in stadiums, how to put it in theaters, how to put it in performing arts centers. Cleveland Browns testing it as well. If the Crew is successful, the Browns will also follow.
How about Sports Radar launching a new data system for remote drug testing in sports?
Yeah, see, now that's cool because they have a blockchain-based data storage system to support remote drug testing. So you feed it in, you get the results pretty quickly, and it's going to be one of those things where you can speed up the results right after the event so you don't have to wait a couple of days.
How about Ohtani's deal with Fanatics?
Yeah, well, that's another one. That's a good example. Fanatics is becoming probably they've made a lot of different investments. Mike Rubin is a really significant entrepreneur. And Fanatics is branching out into a whole bunch of different things as well. So watch for them to be making some major investments in all kinds of things in the future.
My good friend Tony Hawk, who's been on my show a million times, showed up at the X Games and decided to start competing at 53.
53. Look, if you can surf, he can skate. I'm not sure the analogy is correct, But you know, you're not dead when you're in your 50s. That should be good news for you.
I can still hit a two iron too.
You can hit a two iron. It's just you hit it far. You hit it far right. You hit it far left. But you hit that two iron straight.
That's a surfboard golf club.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah, I remember you hit one or two irons straight, but I've got to go way deep in the memory bank to recall that.
Listen, I hope that your entire Eastern Seaboard trip is filled with rain and lightning and thunderstorms and flooding.
Yeah, thanks, man. I really appreciate
it. I hope your daughter passes
the bar. I'll miss not much.
I hope
I'll miss you, but not much.
Passes the bar. And I've had enough of you, so I'll see you when I get back the week of August 2nd. Don't forget Carver High's birthday next Wednesday, the 28th.
And yours on Thursday. And watch the sharks when you're surfing. They should be heading the other way.
That's great, Rick. I'll be attacked and eaten by a shark in Southern California. Isn't that lovely? There he is, Rick Harrow, our hot dog aficionado, legal and sports business insider on the bench. Believe that Carver High that they're having it in, you know, in Tokyo with this COVID and then this Delta variant that's killing everybody. And then they're going to turn right around 5 months later and go to Beijing and have the Winter Olympics. I mean, can you even you can't even make this up. Like, that's the epicenter of it. I mean, that's the ground zero for this thing is China. I want nothing to do with China. Neither does anybody else.
I'm actually kind of surprised how, even if it was a normal Olympic situation, which is every 2 years, obviously this one has already been pushed back a year, so it's a lot closer together. But even if it was just 2 years apart, like the standard, why are they in the same region two Olympics in a row to begin with? Like, shouldn't they like go somewhere completely different? I don't know. I get it. It's two different countries. One's in China, one's in Japan. But it's the same region.
I think it's about money.
World. Yeah, because nobody wants to host these things anymore. You know that. It's like you talk about with Rick. It costs these countries billions when they host these Olympics, because then they're left with all these buildings when the Olympics are over. They got nothing to do with them. They've got all this money. I mean, it's just all the horror stories. Athens, the Torino in Italy, like all of these places. Horror stories of all the money they lost to hosting the Olympics.
I called it perfect, like a nuclear waste site. When they leave, it's left. It's like a bomb went off. And I got to tell you, I mean, in reality, people may not agree with this. That's fine. I'm just saying, like, the Olympics are cool for the whatever 2.5 weeks. How long is it, right? And then when it's over, no one gives a rat's ass. It's like. I don't want to compare it to going to war, but when they go over there, they come back and everybody's like, "Yay, way to go!" And then like 3 days later, they're like, "Yeah, whatever." It's true. They try to make these Olympic athletes superstars and famous, and it doesn't happen.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.